You're listening to the Preacher's Side Chick Murder Trial of Latasha Daniels from the Hidden Killers Podcast and True Crime Today.
Are we ready to get back started? Stay, you may call your next witness.
Detective Chris Robertson.
Come on with, sir. Stand here, face the judge. Raise your right hand.
Do you swear affirm to tell the whole truth?
I do.
All right, you may have a seat, sir.
Thank you, ma'am. Would you stand and spell your name, please?
My name is Chris, C-H-R-I-S. Last name Roberts, R-O-B-E-R-T-S.
And what is your occupation?
I'm a lieutenant with the Carterville Police Department.
How long have you been at the Carterville Police Department?
Approximately 27 years.
As a lieutenant, can you tell me what your duties are?
I'm a patrol lieutenant. That means I supervise right now I'm supervising the midnight shift patrol division. We have approximately 14 patrol officers on our shift, and I'm more of the supervisors over that shift.
Do you have training in firearms?
Yes, sir.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I've been a police officer. I've been a police officer over 31 years. During that time, I was a SWAT operator for almost 5 years. I've had training in the use of rifles, shotgun, handguns, less lethal weapons, most weapons that police officers use.
Do you have to qualify every year with a handgun?
Twice a year.
Twice a year with a handgun?
Yes, sir.
I want to talk to you a little bit about semi-automatic handguns.
Yes, sir.
Can you tell the ladies and gentlemen of the jury what that is?
A semi-automatic handgun is a magazine-fed handgun that, according to what kind of caliber bullet that you put inside of it, that you insert the number of rounds that you want inside of the magazine, insert the magazine into the handgun, you rack the slide back, and when the slide goes forward, a round is chambered into the gun and it's ready to fire.
And then how do you fire that when it's ready to fire?
Some handguns have safeties, some do not. If the handgun does not have a safety, you just pull the trigger. If the handgun does have a safety, you have to take it off safety and put it into the firing mode and just pull the trigger.
And so every time you pull the trigger, what happens?
Another round goes off until the magazine is empty.
And what happens when the magazine is empty?
The slide will lock back, showing that there's no more rounds to be fed into the chamber, so nothing else can be fired.
So if you run out of bullets or fire it till you run out of bullets, there's not a round in the chamber at that point?
No, sir. The slide locks back automatically, and it cannot be fired again.
If the slide is then forward and you insert a magazine full of ammunition into that weapon, will there be one in the chamber?
Yes, sir, there will be.
Okay, I think you misunderstood my question. If the slide is forward...
Oh, I'm sorry, I misunderstood. Okay. Yes, the slide has to be rocked back, and you insert the magazine, then you release the slide goes forward, and that chambers around into the...
So if you insert a magazine without racking the slide, basically, will there be a round in the chamber?
No, there will not.
I want to talk to you a little bit about April 4th of 2019. You already testified you were with the Carterville Police Department. What were your duties at that time?
I was at the rank of detective during that time.
And did you respond to a call on Elkstone Place in Carterville on that day?
Yes, sir. I was the on-call detective that night.
And so did you call about what time you got the call, what time you got there?
It was around 11 or so. I don't presume. It was late that night.
Okay. And when you get there, tell ladies and gentlemen the jury what you observed and kind of what you did to start.
Since we got there, myself and Lieutenant Young and two other detectives made the scene. We secured the scene, went over the crime scene, seeing what we were dealing with, including where shell casings were, where a possible weapon that was used was located, or there was any blood splattering. We talked to the officers that first made the scene there. We talked to the firemen that were there to see what happened with them. It was just seeing what the scene was about and then starting our investigation.
So one of the things I think you just said was you kind of take over the scene when you get there?
Yes, the patrol officers release the scene to the detectives and it becomes our scene.
Is one of the things you do is you start identifying and collecting evidence from that scene?
Yes, sir.
And did you do that at that scene on Elkstone?
Yes, sir.
I hand you...
Excuse me, Detective Roberts, if you could speak up so the jury
can
keep a recorded thing.
Okay.
So we just
can I touch this?
Yes, absolutely. If you can open that up and look at it, and I just want to ask you if you can identify what's in there and how you can identify what it is.
This is the handgun that we collected at that apartment that night. I recognize it from the serial number and the model.
Is there anything else in that box?
There's a magazine with several rounds of ammunition.
Okay. How many rounds of ammunition?
5.
And you collected all that from the scene on Elkstone?
All the detectives that night. We all worked together to collect it.
After it's collected, what happens to it then?
We take it back to the police department and seal it in bags. And seal it with evidence tape, and then place it into the evidence, which is stored.
And that was done with everything in that box?
Correct.
Judge, I would ask that be marked as 2?
3.
Any objection?
No, Your Honor.
You can show the gun and rounds as Exhibit 3.
Picture and ask you if you can identify that.
This is a picture of the handgun that we located at the department that night.
Judge, I would ask that be marked Exhibit 4, please.
No objection.
And may I publish that?
Yes.
And specifically, what is that photo? What was the purpose of taking that photo?
It showed the model. It's a Ruger handgun, and it shows the serial number that is associated with that handgun.
So what is the serial number on there?
It is 455-51219.
And is that number unique to that handgun?
Each handgun has a unique serial number.
So no other handgun in the world has that serial number?
It should not.
Hand you this. I'm going to ask you to, I don't know if you want gloves, it doesn't matter to me, and I'm just don't know if you have anything to open that up, but I want to ask you to open that up and identify what's on the inside of it.
Thank you. May I open it now, sir?
Yes.
Thank you.
recognize those items?
Yes, sir, I do.
And can you tell, ladies and gentlemen, the jury what they are?
These are the shell casings and a spent round that we've located right inside the apartment.
Can you tell us, count shell casings and spent rounds, what does that mean?
A shell casing is what's left over when a bullet goes out the chamber. It contains the gunpowder, and it's ejected from the gun when the gun is fired. And then the spent bullet is actually the metal that actually goes out the end of the barrel, whatever you're shooting at. That's what it'll hit.
So what you're describing to me is something that starts as one piece.
Correct.
It's a casing with a bullet on the end. The casing contains gunpowder.
Correct.
You put the entire you put that into the gun.
You put it into the magazine.
Into the magazine.
Yes.
And then what happens when you pull the trigger?
The firing pin on the weapon hits the primer on the shell, which ignites the gunpowder inside of the shell, which explodes and shoots the bullet out through the barrel.
So then it separates.
Correct.
And the bullet goes out through the barrel.
Correct.
What happens to the casing that's left in the weapon?
In this type of weapon, it's ejected from the weapon.
When you say ejected, like, is it shot out like the bullet, or is it something
different? No, the bullet will go straight out. The shell casing goes out to the side.
Yeah. And how far approximately? I mean, does it go a mile? Does it go feet?
Like the shell casing or the bullet? The shell casing, maybe 10 feet. Not far.
So if someone fires a weapon in a room 7 times, would you anticipate you would recover 7 shell casings from there if they were using a semi-automatic handgun?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Did you recover shell casings from that residence on Elkstone?
Yes, sir, we did.
How many?
7.
And is that, that's those?
Correct. Plus, I believe there is a bullet, one spent copper bullet also.
Okay. And tell me, like, how that would happen.
Whenever the bullet, if it goes into a body or... and it exits the body, the bullet will be left at the scene.
So it would lose most of its velocity at that point?
Correct.
And you might find that?
Correct.
Would it be unusual not to find all of the bullets that were fired?
Correct. The bullet could be left in the victim. The bullet could be in a wall that we can never recover. The bullet could fly if it hit a window going outside the residence that we may never find again.
So if it went out the door was open and it went out the door.
Very unlikely we would ever find that again.
Okay. I'm just going to ask you to put those back in there.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to ask that big mark next exhibit, Judge.
In your kitchen.
No.
All right. We show the shell casing and spent round of the private apartment is exhibit 5.
Going to ask you if you can identify this.
Yes, sir, I can.
And what is that?
This is the evidence that was collected by the ME from Mr. Perry's body.
So the medical examiner?
Correct.
During the autopsy?
Correct.
So when they perform an autopsy and collect evidence, what does the doctor do with it?
They collect it for us, seal it up, and then turn it over to the police department.
And who went to the medical examiner's office to pick up the evidence that they collected?
I did.
And can you tell by those markings that that's what you picked up after they performed an autopsy on Brodus Perry?
Yes, sir. There was another, it looks like hair, nail. There's a few other things here besides the bullets.
Judge, I'm going to ask that be marked next exhibit, please.
Any objection?
Colonel, will that just be a cumulative evidence from the ME?
That's what I'm going to ask that it be marked as, yeah.
Any objection?
No, Your Honor. No.
All right, we'll show this evidence collected by the medical examiner from the victim's body is exhibit 6.
As part of the work you did on this case, Detective Bishop, or Lieutenant, I'm sorry, did you submit any items to the Tennessee Bureau of Investigations?
Yes, sir, I did.
And what items did you send out?
The items from the ME, I submitted the gun, I submitted the spent shell casings also.
Did you submit the bullet that was recovered as well from the crime scene?
Yes, sir.
So 7 spent shell casings and the bullet from the crime scene, 5 bullets from the ME and the Ruger.
Correct.
All of those were submitted to the TBI.
Correct.
And what did you request that the Tennessee Bureau of Investigations do with those items?
I wanted them to see if the bullet matched the weapon that we retrieved from the scene. I wanted to make sure that the shell casings that we retrieved came from the weapon that we retrieved from the scene.
And after they finished their, did they do the examination?
Yes, sir.
And after they finish their examination, who goes? What happens to them? Do you go pick the evidence back up, or?
It can either stay with the TBI until court, or we can go pick it up and put it back into our evidence.
Okay. And the items that have previously been marked, those are all the items that you sent to the TBI to be analyzed?
As I recall, yes, sir.
Did you try to determine where and when the Ruger that's been introduced into evidence was purchased and who purchased it?
Yes, sir, I did.
And were you able to do that?
Yes, sir, I was.
And tell us what you found out.
What we did was we submitted the make, model, and serial number to Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms for them to run a trace on the weapon to see when it was purchased and who purchased it.
And who purchased it?
It showed it was purchased by the defendant.
Is the defendant in the courtroom?
Yes, she is.
Can you point her out, please?
She's over here in the white coat and the glasses and the blue shirt.
Judge, for the record, he's indicated Ms. Daniel. Where did she purchase that?
It was purchased at a sporting goods store in Sherwood, Arkansas.
And were you able to obtain from that store a receipt of where she purchased it?
Yes, sir, I did.
Can you this? Ask you if you can identify that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I did.
What is that?
This is a receipt showing that the defendant purchased a Ruger EC9 9mm handgun and a box of 9mm ultra-target range ammo and a box of 9mm JHP Elite V-Crown ammo.
And that's got a mark at the top. Is that a mark you got when you that you made on it when you obtained that?
Correct. That shows the file number to my case.
Does it show when she made that purchase?
Yes, sir.
And what day did she make that purchase?
April 4th, 2019 at 4:37 p.m.
Does it show the last 4 of the credit card that she made that purchase with?
Yes, sir, it does.
And what are the last 4 of that credit card?
7571 to a Visa.
Judge, I'm going to ask that be made next to the plea.
No, Your Honor.
We'll show the gun purchase receipt as Exhibit 7.
May I publish that for the jury, please?
Yes.
So is that what you just identified?
Yes, sir, it is.
And the top, Fort Thompson, is that the name of the sporting goods store?
Yes, sir, it is.
And that's in Sherwood, Arkansas?
Correct.
Did you go to that store?
Yes, sir, I did.
How long did it take you to get there?
It's about a 3-hour drive.
From Collierville?
Yes, sir.
And right under the word receipt, where it says 4/4/19, 4:37, and 07 seconds, that's the date and the time that she purchased that?
Correct.
It's got her name down there, Latasha Daniels, with an address in Little Rock, Arkansas. Is that correct?
Correct.
And then right under there is RUG EC9S. What 9MM? What does that mean?
That is a Ruger EC9 9mm handgun.
And under the 22990 is a serial number?
Yes, 455-51219. Yes, sir.
And is that the same serial number as the Ruger that was previously entered into Houston evidence?
Yes, sir, it is.
The was Ms. Daniels' car found at the scene at Elkstone?
Yes, it was.
Did you get a search warrant for that car?
Yes, sir, I did.
And did you search it?
Yes, sir, I did.
Want to hand you something? Can you identify that?
Yes, sir. This is the credit card that I located inside the vehicle when I executed the search warrant.
And what are the last four on that credit card?
7571.
And is that the same last four of the credit card that was used to purchase the handgun that day in Sherwood, Arkansas?
Yes, it is.
Judge, I would ask that be made next exhibit, please.
Any objection?
No, Your Honor.
All right, we'll show the credit card mark as exhibit 8.
When you went to Thompson Sporting Goods in Sherwood, did you inquire from the owner as to whether they had a video surveillance system in that store?
Yes, sir. The day before, if I may, I contacted the sporting goods store and told them what I was needing, and they sent me four still shots from a video of the defendant going in the store and purchasing it. And then several days later, I went to the store and actually got a thumb drive from the store of that video.
I want to play a video for you and ask you if you can identify. And I will say, before I play this, that in an attempt to be more efficient with the court and the jury's time, I've shortened the video and sped it up at certain points.
Okay.
And even put a little writing in there, I think you'll see, but I basically want you to tell me, is this at least portions of the video that you recovered from Thompson Sporting Goods in Sherwood?
Yes.
Your Honor, I just may note, for the record, although this may not be the appropriate witness for some of this evidence, in the spirit of judicial economy, we are not objecting to any of this being entered through this witness.
All right, thank you.
Detective Roberts, is that the video that you recovered from Thompson Sporting Goods?
Yes, sir, it was.
Because the owner is going to be here tomorrow, but I'm moving now. I've put the entire video and then the kind of sped up clip both on the thumb drive, and I would ask that they be entered into evidence.
And again, with the same admonishment that we don't have an issue with it going in through this witness or just judicial economy, even though we're going to agree that it should come in.
Okay.
All right.
Exhibit 9 will show the video from the purchase of the gun. Yes.
This picture. Can you identify that?
Yes, sir, I can.
And what is that?
This is the still shot that I received from the sporting goods store. They emailed me the day after I received the ATF filing information about the handgun.
And is that taken off the video?
Yes, it is.
Judge, I would ask that big mark next week.
No objection.
We'll show the steel shot of the defendant walking the store as exhibit 10.
May I publish that to the jury?
Yes.
All right. that what you just identified?
Yes, sir, it is.
And do you recognize that individual?
That's the defendant.
So you recognize that as being Latosha Daniels?
Yes, I do. I'm a lieutenant now.
Lieutenant Roberts.
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, Lieutenant Roberts. My name is Sergeant Moore. I represent Ms. Daniels, and I just probably have more than a few questions.
I understand.
You were the lead investigator in this case.
Correct.
And with that comes a huge responsibility.
Yes, sir.
Correct. When you're a lead investigator in a case, particularly a case like this, you have an array of duties.
Correct.
And the first thing that you do is you get a call, and when you come to a crime scene, you have to secure that scene.
Yeah, usually the patrol officers have already secured the scene. Okay.
And once that scene has been secured, you make sure that it's been secured properly.
Correct.
Correct. Then do you canvass the area to talk to witnesses to see if anybody saw anything?
We do our best, yes.
Okay. In this particular case, did you canvass the area or the apartment complex to see if there were any witnesses?
I do not recall if I did. There were two other detectives with me that assisted me with this case, but I do not remember particularly going door to door. There was only one other apartment on next to Mrs. Perry's apartment there.
Okay. So you... The scene you arrived has been secured by the other officers, correct?
Correct.
Was Ms. Perry or Mr. Perry's body still there, or had they been taken to the hospital?
No, they had already been taken by ambulance.
And Ms. Daniels had been taken away as well?
Correct. The Perrys went to the Med, or now Regional 1, and the defendant went to Carville Baptist.
Okay. And so now your job is to secure the scene and collect evidence?
Correct.
And... earlier, when Mr. McAlpine was talking to you, you started talking about some of the evidence that you gathered.
Correct.
In a case like this, once you started gathering evidence, you start kind of putting together the pieces to a puzzle.
Yes, sir.
Is that a fair assessment?
Yes, it is.
And in this case, you didn't know Ms. Daniels, correct?
No.
You didn't know Mr. Perry?
No.
You didn't know Ms. Perry?
No.
You didn't know anything about who they were or their prior relationships?
I know nothing about this case.
Okay. So you come to the scene and you secure it.
Correct.
You start gathering and collecting evidence. And that's important because you have to secure that evidence so that it makes it to this courtroom for trials.
Correct.
And so you did that.
Correct.
Part of your responsibilities and duties as the lead investigator is you secure the scene. We've talked about that. You collect evidence. Mr. McAlpin has gone through what you secured, and you make sure that it gets to the appropriate parties.
Correct.
In this particular case, you sent the shell casings to the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation.
Correct.
And you made sure that they got that and received it.
Correct.
So that they could test it.
Correct.
And make sure that it was fired from that weapon.
Correct.
Early on in your investigation, it was pretty obvious to you that this was Ms. Daniels had shot Mr. Perry. Is that correct?
That's what we understood.
Okay. And once you went to the sporting goods store in Arkansas, you saw where she had purchased that weapon.
Correct.
Correct. If I can show you what's already been marked as, I think, exhibit number 10. I might be a little challenged. Ms. Daniels entering the sporting goods store, Thompson Sporting Goods Store, correct?
Correct.
And she's only carrying her car keys.
As far as I can tell, yes, sir.
She's not carrying a purse.
I don't see a purse.
And at some point later on in the video, you see her purchase the weapon.
Correct.
And you said that happened at, according to the receipt, at 4:37.
According to the receipt, yes, sir.
Okay. And she leaves the sporting goods store.
Correct. Yes, sir.
And at some point, based on your investigation, she comes to Memphis.
Yes, she does.
And goes downtown. How far is it from Sherwood to downtown Memphis?
2.5-3 hours.
Okay. Because earlier you testified it was 3 hours of car you did.
Yes, sir.
So about 2.5 hours would be
My best guesstimate, yes.
And then another 30 minutes from downtown Memphis to car you did.
Yes, sir.
And this all happened, the purchase was at 4:37.
Correct.
Correct.
And according to the business.
And what was the time that you responded?
It was late. It was maybe 11 o'clock or so.
11:37?
It could have been that. Yes, sir.
Okay. And earlier, let's talk about, you testified that you went out to Ms. Daniels' car and you retrieved the credit card.
No, that was several days later.
Okay. Okay. Several days later, you went to her car and you retrieved the credit card.
Yeah. We towed her car to our secure lot.
Okay.
And secured it. And then obtained a search warrant to search it.
Okay. And when you got that search warrant, you obtained the credit card.
Yes, sir.
Correct. There was no purse in the car, correct?
No, sir.
And there was no purse in the still video.
No, sir.
When she was at the sporting goods store.
I don't recall if there was a purse. There was a lot of stuff inside that car, but I don't recall a purse.
Okay. Now, getting back to your investigation, as this investigation kind of went on, you started to put the pieces to this puzzle together, and information came to you.
Yes, sir.
One of the things that came to you, you got a call from a Chriselle Marshall.
Yes.
And Ms. Marshall told you about some videos that she was privy to on, was it an app called Marco Polo?
A social media
app called Marco Polo.
Correct.
And she, after you and her conversed for a while, she told you she knew Brodus Perry, correct?
Correct.
And that they had met through this app.
Yes, I don't believe she ever physically met him. I believe it was just through the app only.
Okay. And at some point, she sent you some videos.
Correct.
And you secured those videos.
Correct.
You watched them.
Correct.
And you turned those over to the state of Tennessee.
I put them on CD, and then I submitted them to evidence.
Okay. I got a question.
Yes.
On my hands, you got a thumb drive.
Thank you.
You recognize that?
This is the thumb drive y'all showed me earlier.
Okay. And on that thumb drive were those videos, or some of the videos from Marco Polo?
Yeah, there were quite a few that I viewed.
And you, all of those weren't played in court, but there were about 30 videos on Marco Polo that were provided to you?
Yes, sir. Plus or minus. I don't remember exactly how many, but there were quite a few.
Okay. And you reviewed all of them?
Yes, sir, as I recall. Yes, sir.
At some point, you also, let's talk about Tabitha Perry. You also interviewed Tabitha Perry, is that correct?
Myself and Detective Shirky did, okay. Yes.
You didn't talk to her the night of the incident?
No, she went straight to the med.
Okay. She came in and saw you the next day?
Correct. I believe I talked to her on the telephone first, and then she came in.
Okay. And she came in, was she alone, or was she with anyone?
No, she was with family members.
Okay. Did she have... two other people with her, pastors?
It could have been. I know she had other support staff with her, or support people with her.
Okay. Was Pastor Pointer one of the people?
It could have been. I'm sorry, I do not recall who all was with her.
Okay. And at some point you talked to her?
Correct.
And she didn't know, at this time you didn't have any information about these Marco Polo videos?
At that time, no.
Okay. But she was very surprised or didn't know anything about a relationship between Ms. Daniels or Mr. Perry.
Correct.
Okay. You interviewed her about how she invited Ms. Daniels over. I mean, invited her into the apartment.
Correct.
She talked to you about how they caught up.
Correct.
And then at some point, how Mr. Perry arrived.
Correct.
They talked for a while.
Yes.
And then at some
Judge,
point...
it's hearsay. I don't know.
I'm not getting what was talked about.
What?
I can't hear from.
Your Honor, I need to go back and make that, I think, exhibit number 9, the flash drive of those videos.
Any objection from the state?
No, ma'am.
All right, we'll show that the thumb drive, is exhibit 11. All right, you can continue.
Now, again, Lieutenant Roberts, what I'm asking you were things that you learned through your investigation.
Yes, sir.
Right. And you learned that at some point Mr. Perry came.
Correct.
And that at some point a shooting occurred.
Correct.
Correct. You didn't know any of the history or background between Mr. Perry and Ms. Daniels, correct?
Not until later in my investigation.
Okay. But when you were talking to Ms. Perry, interviewing her, you didn't know any of that information?
No, I did not.
And so, and that was very early on in your investigation?
It was like the next day or the day after.
How long after you talked to Ms. Perry did you get a call from Ms. Marshall and get those Marco Polo videos? Do you remember?
Within a week.
Okay. Would those have been helpful had you had those prior to your interview?
Yes, it would have been nice.
If I can have a minute. Now, earlier I was asking you about your interview with Chapman, correct?
Correct.
And you said that you and was Officer Shirky?
Detective Shirky.
Detective Shirky were present?
Correct.
And you couldn't remember who was in the interview room with Tabitha Bear?
No, I do not recall.
John, am I approaching the witness?
Yes.
I'm going to show you a transcript of that. You want to just take a minute?
Sure.
Don't read it out loud. Just read it.
This is page on.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead. Yes, sir.
So just a little bit ago, I asked you about who was present during that interview, and you said you couldn't recall.
That's right.
After reviewing the transcript, was there a pastor turning there from Mississippi Boulevard?
Yes.
And a pastor pointer from St. Mark's?
Yes, sir.
Okay. During the course of your investigation, it also led you to go to Little Rock. Is that correct?
I did that all the same day. I went to the gun store and to Little Rock also.
Okay.
To close proximity.
Tell the jury where you went to in Little Rock.
There is a cigar store in Little Rock, and there is also a hotel in Little Rock that I went to in part of my investigation into this.
Okay. And when you went to the... Do you remember the name of the cigar bar you went to?
Sons, something in Sons, I apologize. It's Mr. Effling's cigar store. It was
David Effling?
Yes, sir.
And Gregory, you talked to both of them?
Yes, sir, I did.
And they own the cigar bar in Little Rock, correct?
Correct.
And that was the place that Pastor Perry, Brotus Perry's frequented?
Yes, sir.
And he also had a locker there, correct?
Correct.
And you went and you opened the locker?
Yeah, I had the staff open it for me.
Okay, and you retrieved the weapon from that locker?
Yes, sir, I did.
Okay. Now, going back to your earlier investigation, I'm going to flip back to when you got to the crime scene and it had been secured and you started gathering and collecting evidence. One of the things that you did is you got Mr. Perry's cell phone.
Correct.
Correct. And at some point you tried to open it or get into the cell phone.
I believe we obtained search warrants, but I do not recall us ever getting information. I don't recall ever getting information from the phones.
Correct. You were never able to get any information out of his cell phone.
Yes.
His wife didn't have the code to it.
I don't recall that. I just know I don't remember getting information from his phones or one of the defendant's phones.
Okay. Now, also, when you were shown, or you were asked a series of questions by Mr. McAlpin about this weapon, correct?
The Ruger?
Yes.
Yes.
And you were asked questions about how to load, how to load bullets, how you put the bullets into the gun, correct?
Correct.
How you use the slide,
correct?
And one of the questions he asked you was, in order to get the bullet in the chamber, you have to pull the slide back, correct?
Correct, and then release it.
Okay. And when you retrieved that gun, there were bullets in the chamber there, but there wasn't one in the slide.
Correct.
Okay. Do you remember whether the slide was open or closed?
As I recall, it was made safe, so the slide would have. The slide was back.
Okay. But you weren't at the crime. You weren't at the scene of any of this, and you couldn't tell the jury how that gun was at the time of the shooting or shortly thereafter?
No, sir. It was sitting on, I believe it's a coffee table or a table right inside the kitchen area there.
Okay.
It was rendered safe.
Now, part of what you did when you secured the crime scene is you started talking to the other officers that were there.
Correct.
Correct. And at some point, you found out that Ms. Daniels had been shot with a non-lethal or non-lethal force had been used.
Correct.
Okay. You also found out that she had made attempts to or point a gun at her chest, head, or mouth, correct?
That was the information given to me.
Okay. And in your training, you all are trained as officers to, you have a continuum of deadly force training, correct?
We have a force continuum.
Force continuum.
Yes.
And from on one extreme is less lethal force.
Correct.
All the way to the other extreme of deadly force.
Correct.
And it's based on the situation, the officers are trained to use their instinct, their observation, as to what type of force is to be used. Correct?
Correct.
And in this case, you found out, or you came to know that the least lethal force had been used.
Correct.
That at some point, they attempted less lethal force, that the gun had misfired.
I believe they had one shotgun that misfired twice.
Another rifle was obtained.
Another shotgun.
And another shot was taken.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Going back to your interview with Ms. Perry at the time,
okay.
Tabitha Perry.
Yes.
You also found out that she had been shot.
Correct.
And you also found out that she didn't believe Ms. Daniels had tried to shoot her.
I don't recall that. I recall Mrs. Perry tell me that she tried to cover her husband to protect him, and that the defendant shot her. I don't recall her saying she didn't think that Ms. Daniels had shot her.
If I can have a minute, right?
I don't recall that. Thank you, ma'am.
While she locates that for me, or did you want to take a minute?
No, I'm fine.
You also learned that during this exchange between Ms. Daniels at the end, right before the shooting, or shortly after the shooting, that she made the statement, "He broke my heart. He broke my heart."
Yes, sir. That was put in my affidavit. Yes, sir.
Yes.
Thank you.
Just take a minute.
Sure.
To do that. I know this has been, it's been a while since you.
6 years.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
You had a chance, Lieutenant Roberts, to refresh your recollection.
Yes.
And so I'll ask the question again. When you were questioning Ms. Perry, you found out that she didn't believe Ms. Daniels was trying to shoot her, correct?
I believe she was trying to shoot her husband again.
Okay. And not her.
Correct.
Correct. I can have an interview.
I'll pass the witness.
Redirect.
No questions.
Anybody sit there.
Thank you.
Anybody need a break? Joyce? Attorney's gonna need a break. Anybody call your next witness?
The state calls Detective Watts.
Stand here. Face the judge. Raise your right hand.
Do you swear or affirm to tell the whole truth?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, you may have a seat, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Could you state and spell your name for the record, please?
Yes, this is Detective Jonathan, J-O-N-A-T-H-A-N. Watts, W-A-T-T-S.
And where are you employed?
With the Collierville Police Department.
And how long have you been with the Collierville Police Department?
Just over 20 years.
And what positions have you held?
I started as a patrol officer and now as a detective in the Criminal Investigations Division.
Okay. As a part of your duties, do you take pictures of crime scenes?
Yes, I do.
I'm going to take you back to April 4th of 2019. Do you recall taking pictures of a crime scene on that day?
Yes, ma'am.
And was that crime scene on Elkstone Place in Collierville?
Yes, ma'am, it was.
Is that an apartment complex?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So what happened when you responded there?
I was asked to come help process the crime scene in regards to a shooting scene where two individuals had been shot.
When you say process, what does that all entail?
So for me that day was photographing the crime scene. Usually processing will be photographing, collecting evidence, things of that nature.
Okay. And where did you take pictures of?
Took pictures as we entered the apartment complex, the apartment where the incident occurred, and where the suspect's vehicle was in the parking lot.
Okay. I'm going to pass you some pictures, Detective Watts. If you could just take a look at these.
Yes, ma'am.
And after you look at them, if you could tell us if you recognize those pictures.
Yes, ma'am.
And do those pictures accurately depict the scene at the time you responded?
Yes, ma'am, it does.
And are those the pictures that...
Can you speak up?
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
So do those pictures accurately depict the scene when you responded?
Yes, ma'am.
And are those the pictures that you took of the scene?
Yes, ma'am, they are.
Your Honor, if we could have these photos of the crime scene entered as a collective exhibit.
Any objection?
No, Your Honor.
All right. We'll show the photos from the crime scene, collective exhibit 12.
And Your Honor, once they are numbered, may I have published to the jury?
Yes.
So that is the identifying the two apartments that are upstairs in that apartment complex as you approach the building itself.
And what about this photo?
That would be the stairwell leading up to the two apartments upstairs.
Okay. So when you arrived at the apartment, at which apartment complex did you respond to? Was it the one on the right or the left?
So when you go upstairs, it's to the right.
Okay. do you recall what's in this photograph?
Yes, ma'am. Those are photographs of the less lethal munitions.
Okay, the 12 gauges?
Yes.
Okay. And what do we see right here?
That would be the ends of those less lethal munitions.
Okay. So, same evidence, just photographed from a different angle.
Correct. Yes, ma'am.
And what do we see in this photo?
That would be the entrance to the apartment number 205 where the incident occurred as it was seen on my arrival.
Okay. And do you see this area on the wall?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you know what that is?
That is blood.
Okay. And this picture right here?
Yes, ma'am. That's from the doorway entering into the apartment complex.
Okay. So just a close-up of the last picture we just saw.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And do you see this area behind the door?
Yes, ma'am.
What's on the wall right there?
There's blood there.
Okay. And this area that's kind of next to the rug on the right-hand side, do you know what's all in this area?
Yes, ma'am. There was some, like a shoe and some clothing and a lot of blood as well.
What is this a photo of?
A photo of the handgun where it was laying.
Do you recall what brand of firearm that was?
I believe it was a Ruger handgun.
I believe this photo has already been admitted to evidence. But did you take this photo as well?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And is this the same firearm that was found on the coffee table?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And could you read that serial number for us really quick?
Yes, it's 455-51219.
Okay. And what is this a picture of?
That's a picture of the magazine with ammunition in it.
Okay. And was that also on the coffee table next to the Ruger?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. What's shown next to placard one?
That is a spent shell casing.
Okay. And was that the area that you previously described next to the shoe on the ground?
That was as soon as you enter into the apartment. Okay. It was right there. Yes, ma'am.
And what's next to placard two?
It is another spent shell casing.
Okay. And where is this area? Is this near a wall?
That was, I believe, behind the door. The open door, if you were to close it was behind the door.
Oh, behind the front door?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Placard three, could you tell us what's shown in this?
That is a mangled round that had been fired.
Okay. Do you know what area of the home this was found in?
I believe that was right in front of the doors on the right there, where that heavy amount of blood was.
Five.
That's a spent shell casing. A spent round.
Okay. And is that a door frame that it's next to?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Is that near the entrance of the home?
Yes, ma'am.
Placard six. What's shown here?
Is another spent shell casing.
And this was inside the home?
Yes, ma'am.
And what does this photograph show?
The suspect vehicle.
And if you could describe to us what kind of vehicle this is.
A Toyota silver in color or sedan.
And what about this?
That is also of the vehicle, just from the different angle.
Did you execute a search warrant on this vehicle, or did you just take pictures?
I just took pictures of it.
Okay. And so, once you took the photographs of the crime scene and the suspect vehicle, what did you do with them?
With the photos?
Yes.
I submitted them into evidence.
Okay. So did you do anything else pertaining to this investigation?
The evidence that was brought back, I photographed that in the lab, and then all the pictures were submitted.
I'll pass the witness, Your Honor.
Cross-examination.
Yes, Your Honor. Good afternoon. Is it Detective Watts?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Detective Watts. I'm Arthur Horn. I just have a few questions. It may take me a minute. I'm a little challenged with this technology. But you were called to the scene after it had been secured, correct?
Correct. Yes, sir.
And your job was solely to take pictures?
Yes, sir.
You didn't talk to any witnesses?
No, sir.
You didn't see anything the night of the shooting?
As far as what occurred in the...
Correct.
No, sir.
You weren't there when officers first arrived?
No, sir.
You didn't interview any witnesses?
No, sir.
You strictly just took photographs?
Yes, sir.
You were just given an exhibit with all of the photographs that you had taken, correct?
It was many of the photographs, not all.
And you took photographs of the entire apartment, correct?
Correct.
I think I got it this time. Here it comes. Can y'all see that?
Yes, sir.
That was actually one of the bedrooms.
Correct.
Right? Was that the guest bedroom?
I'm not sure if it's a guest bedroom. It's a bedroom inside the residence, yes.
Okay. That was one of the photographs you took.
Correct. Yes, sir.
That was the sort of living room area in that apartment, correct?
Correct. Yes, sir.
And right here on the table was the gun that had been cleared.
Correct. Yes, sir.
You photographed it after it had been cleared, but you didn't photograph it after the initial shooting.
Correct.
So you wouldn't have known whether the slide was full back or not full back.
No, sir. It's photographed in the way it was found when I arrived.
Would that have helped you in any way in your job to know that?
As far as if it was cleared or if it was...
If the slide had been pulled back or...
I mean, with them telling us it was cleared, it's going to be pulled back and locked out.
Okay. You also photographed another weapon, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And as far as you knew, that was a weapon of the homeowners?
Yes, sir. It was in the other bedroom under the nightstand.
Okay. And that was the weapon you photographed?
Correct, yes, sir.
This was also another view of that living area. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And you took a photograph of that?
Yes, sir.
This is the doorway. Is that where you came, where they came in?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and you took a photograph of that, and the doorway entered right into the kitchen area. Is that correct?
Correct. There's kind of a small hallway straight into the kitchen.
Okay. this would have been another photograph that you took of the living area from just a different angle.
Correct, yes, sir.
Now, earlier when you testified about the weapon, is this where it was found?
Yes, sir.
That?
Yes, sir, okay. That other one in the box.
Mm-hmm. And then, again, when you all photographed the weapons, you a lot of times try to get the serial number, correct?
Correct, yes, sir.
Okay. And in this particular case, you just photographed that it was a Glock 42.
That's just on that side. The serial number would have been either underneath or on the other side.
And then again, these were just the vehicles in the parking lot outside that apartment.
Correct.
So, again, just so we're clear, your job in this particular case was to do nothing other than take photographs.
Yes, sir.
Nothing else was done. You didn't interview any witnesses. You didn't talk to any witnesses. You didn't. You weren't there that night.
Correct.
And all you can add, other than today, is that you took the photographs.
Yes, sir.
If I can have a minute.
You can hear
those. Oh, excuse me. If I could have you review those. I guess he's reviewed them, Young.
Yes,
if I can move those into evidence.
Any objection?
There's not. I do want to take a look at one of them after their report.
No further questions.
We'll show that it's holistic civic.
Detective Watts, I'm going to go back to this photograph that you took of the other firearm. And you said that it was found underneath the nightstand?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And as depicted here, it's in a box?
Correct. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Excuse me. Ms. Whitney, if you could speak up.
Yes.
Like you're trying to reach the bed a little.
I'll repeat my question. So the firearm that you previously talked about that was in the bedroom, it was underneath the nightstand, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And it was in a box, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And is this the same firearm that was in that box underneath the nightstand?
Yes, ma'am, it is.
Okay. From your view of it, is it loaded?
At that point, I can't tell.
Okay. What are the two items on the right side of the firearm?
Magazines.
Okay, so they are not in the gun.
They are not in the gun.
No further questions, John. Read across.
Just briefly, Your Honor. She just showed you a picture of that weapon with the clips on the side.
Yes, sir.
When you got to the scene, you weren't sure whether that gun had been cleared, correct?
The gun on the table?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
And the gun under the nightstand?
Had not been cleared.
That had not been cleared?
No, sir.
Okay. The other thing I wanted to show you was, does that recollect your, refresh your recollection as to the bedroom?
Yes, sir.
And was that where that weapon was found, under the nightstand in the bedroom?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Your Honor, if I could have this picture moved into the next
room. We'll have a photo of the bedroom in Exhibit 14.
And no further questions, John.
All right. Any redirect?
No, Your Honor.
All right, you may sit down, sir.
Thank you.
It's a good time to take a break, so we're going to take about a 10-minute break.
Okay? Yes, ma'am.
Jump board and recess for 10 minutes.
Put down your brief recess. You're going to need pens and pads in the chair. Follow me.
You need to address this.
I'm just going to give everybody an update. Logistically, the owner of Thompson Sporting Goods from Arkansas is here. I've contacted Dr. Curry, asked her to be here at 2 o'clock. Okay. That's all I'm going to have. We'll have one with us too.
We'll come back in 10 minutes.
There's more of the Preacher's Side Chick Murder Trial of Latasha Daniels coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a moment. From the Hidden Killers Podcast and True Crime Today.
Extra Value Meals are back. That means 10 tender juicy McNuggets and medium fries and a drink are just $8. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California and for delivery.